Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf ayin dalet. Actually, today's daf is daf ayin hey. We're back on ayin dalet. We're nine dalet amud aleph, and let's go. We're going to do today the gimel chamur, the three more stringent sins in the Torah, the cardinal sins, I guess you would call them, in the Torah, where the Torah says you have to give up your life for them. Popular gemara, important gemara. Talk about Kiddush Hashem today. A lot of basic stuff. We're in the middle of the Amud, where the line starts with the words Kol Chavim. It's right in the middle of the Amud on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, and it starts. The next word is Amar Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Hashem Amen Yor Tzadik Nimnu VeGamar Ba'Aliyas Beis Nitzeh. Nimnu always refers to a vote, right? There's a debate, and we'll see actually this morning some of the debate that takes place. There's a debate which sins in the Torah you have to give up your life for. So Nimnu means that they voted. The Gamru means they concluded. So we had a vote and we concluded. In the attic of Beit Nitzeh, usually these votes take place in some sort of attic. I guess more of a secret location. Okay. But Lod Kolavos Kolaver Shabatari Aim Amram La'adam Avor Baal Ta'ereg Ya'avor Baal Ya'reg. So when it comes to mitzvahs in the Torah in general, or Averis in the Torah in general, a person says Avor Baal Ta'ereg. And so, and a non-Jew comes over to you and says to you, "I want you to violate this avera, or your life, okay, your money or your life, the mitzvah or your life." Ya'avor ve'al yahareg.
You say only a non-Jew.
Rashi says it. So I
but
just
even if a Jew, no.
I'm just copying.
I mean, they wouldn't do it usually.
I know that, but I'm just copying Rashi. I mean, Rashi says a non-Jew. Okay.
Yeah, that's normal.
So, right. Normally, I guess that's how it would happen.
Even as a Jew, I'm sure.
Right. Yavor v'al yehareg. So, no. So Yavor, violate the Avera and don't be killed. Rashi says in the Gemara later on, we'll make this exceedingly clear. This is based on the pasuk of V'chai Bahem. We have an obligation that we have to live by the mitzvahs. We don't have to die by the mitzvahs. So, as a result of that, your life comes first before mitzvahs. Chutz, and the three exceptions are. Okay, that is the statement. That is the vote that they had in the Aliyah Beis Nitzeh, and the conclusion is: for these three cardinal sins, one must give up his life. Otherwise, the default position is: do not give up your life for mitzvahs averus in the Torah. So first, the Gemara challenges Rav Avodas Kochavim Lo VeHatanya. Amar Rav Yishma Minayin Shim Amar Lo LaAdam Avor Avodas Kochavim VeAl Tehareg Minayin Shi Ya'avod VeAl Yehareg. A teaching of Rabbi Yishma. He says that when it comes to Avodah Zarah and the choices of Avodah Zarah, your life, he says Avodah Zarah, you should be Oved Avodah Zarah rather than give up your life. So Tamar Lomar VeChai Bahem, and he learns it from the pasuk of VeChai Bahem VeLo She'amutz Bahem. So Yachol now. Right, we're not going to pass on like Rabbi Yishmael. We'll get to that shortly. But from Rabbi Yishmael's perspective, you should be over to Avodah Zarah and not give up your life for Avodah Zarah. Yachol, this is still a continuation of Rabbi Yishmael. Yachol, afil bifar hesya, even if that's public, and now it turns into an issue of chila Hashem, ta'amalam revelo sechalo Hashem kashim enigdashti besoch Yisrael. Okay, so the pasuk says no. For chila Hashem, no. Then you have to give up your life. As we'll learn later on this morning, for chila Hashem, you give up your life for anything. And we'll discuss what anything means later. But, so no, not chila Hashem. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's not three cardinal sins, there are only two cardinal sins. Agilu Arayos and Sheikhaz Damim. But not Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, fine, machlokes, it is subject to a debate, which sins you need to give up your life for. Inu da Amar, Kerebi Eliezer, Detanya Rabbi Elazar Omer. So our vote and decision is based on an opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The pasuk says, "Va'aftas Hashem Alkecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol me'odecha." You must love Hashem. And it's interesting, Rashi says, everything is really derived from the Haftash Hashem Alkech, you have to love God. Right? Now, the pasuk is going to say, B'chol Nafshecha, with your life. Right? Which means that you have to love God even if, at the expense of giving up your life. And Rashi says, V'Havas Hashem, encoded in Havas Hashem, is Avodah Zarah. Right? Rashi writes, Mashma, Shelo Tamirenu Ba'avodas Kochavim. Right? If you're over at Avodah Zarah, that's a chisaron, it's a lack of Havas Hashem. So, now let's read the pasuk like Rav Elazar does. V'haftas Hashem lokecha, don't be oved avodah zarah b'chol nafshecha, even if it means you have to give up your life. That's the exposition of Rabbi Eliezer, And that's who our brisa is going like, our brisa and our vote. And here comes the popular part of the drasha. Nafshecha versus me'odecha. If you have to give up your life, giving up your money is not much of a big deal. So the Gemara says, because not everyone's the same. Not everyone places the same value on life versus money. Some people place more of a value on their life than on their money. So I'll give up my money, but not my life. So that's where b'chol nafshecha. Some people place more of a value on their money than on their life. Therefore, the Torah says b'chol me'odecha. Okay, we now know that's the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer learns it out from Ve'avta Hashem Elokecha, right? You say Shema now, you have a new kavan and Shema, that you have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer, and that's how we get to the conclusion that Avodah Zarah is one of the cardinal sins. Okay, so that's one of the three. We still got two more to go. Gila arise to Shrichos Damim Kedarebi. Okay, so these other two, so they're going to be derived through Rebbe. D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, Ki kasher yakum yishal re'eh uveratzcho nefesh kena davar zeh. Again, going back to our parsha of Nara Hamurasa, a man goes and violates a Nara Hamurasa. She was not consensual. She wasn't interested. He raped her. He forced himself upon her. So the Torah says, as an equation, you know what this is like? This is like murder. Right? The victim didn't want it to happen. Right, he's a victim. Here also, she's a victim. Now, obviously, it's not the same. Murder and rape are not the same. But the Torah makes the equation. We're going to go in both directions. It's a reciprocal learning, and what's true by Ritzicha will be true by Nara Murasa. And reciprocally as well. Make your shorsech on Nara Amarasa. Ma Nara Amarasa, nitan lahatzilo binafsho. By Nara Amarasa, if you're a bystander, you could stop the rape from happening. Yeah. Even at the cost of killing the rapist, the pursuer. If you have to kill him, you absolutely have the right to do so. It's based on the pasuk, Ein Moshi Allah. Right? The Gemara yesterday we learned. Hayesh Moshi Allah. If somebody could save him, somebody needs to save him. So, af rotzeach nitan lahatzila benafsho. Same thing with the rotzeach. Rotzeach, you're a bystander. You have the right to go and intercept and prevent murder from taking place, even at the expense of taking the life of the rodev, of the pursuer. Okay? So that's what we're learning from Nara Amarasa to Ritzicha. What about the other way? So, and we're going to go the other way as well. When it comes to Na'ara Hamu'urasa, just like by Ritzicha, you have to give up your life rather than kill somebody else. Same thing with Na'ara Hamu'urasa, you have to give up your life rather than violate the Isser of Arayos. But that only leaves us one more piece of the puzzle. So now we know that just like Ritzicha, you have to give up your life, so too by Nara Amarasa / all the Arayos in the Torah, you must give up your life. What do we know by Ritzicha? So one more piece of this puzzle, Svaruhu. So the Gemara says it's a logical argument. Based on a logical argument, a logical deduction, you must give up your life. The Gemara tells us that somebody went in front of Rava. The Amarle Mari Dore. If let's say the governor comes over to me and he says, Zilkat Leila Palnaya. My instructions to you are very simple. Right? You see your friend over there? Go kill him. Go kill your friend. The Elo Katlina Lach. And here's your choices. Either you kill him or I kill you. Amarle Liktaluch Velo Tiktol. Your response to him should be, no, let me be killed, and I'm not going to kill. Mi yemar didama ditcha sumak tfei, dilma dama duhu gavra sumak tfei. Who is to say that my blood is any redder than his blood? I can't put a price, a value on life, and if the choices are, I'm passively going to die, or I'm going to actively kill somebody else, I would rather, the logical conclusion is that it's better for me to passively die rather than for me to actively kill somebody else. This is the argument of Dama Ditcha Tzumak Tfei. Right? His, how do I know that his blood is any redder than my blood?
Against, I was only taking orders.
What?
Right. Correct.
Why did it spoke out by the negative prohibition against murder? I cannot murder.
Yeah, but v'chai b'hem.
Nobody.
Meaning, it's you have to be more clinical about this. There is a, it's an aver in the Torah, not to murder. But also v'chai b'hem. I have a right to live my life even at the expense of mitzvah. Give me any other mitzvah in the Torah and I'll say, do the other.
It's not a mitzvah, is it?
Chai b'hem is a mitzvah.
It's a principle. But it's
chai b'hem is a principle that allows me to be over averos. Right? Someone comes to you on Shabbos and says, I want you to be mechal Shabbos, or I take your life. So chil Shabbos is very serious. It's a stoning prohibition. And yet, I have the right to be mechal Shabbos rather than give up my life. So fine, so my life will take precedence over other mitzvos and other averos. So you could have made the same argument over here. But the svara kicks in, right? But without the svara, I would have thought it's an avera. I know it's an avera. But I'm allowed to be over other averos in order to preserve my life. So, but then the svara kicks in. The svara is, yeah, but now his life, my life, I don't know whose life has more value. So okay, good. So that you have a svara. But without the svara, you have the basic principle of the chai b'hem. Okay, so that's a starting point. Okay, so the starting point for this discussion is identifying the three cardinal sins and learning out through svara, through gzereshava, hekesh, whatever you want to call it, and learning out that the three cardinal sins, one must give up his life rather than violate the three cardinal sins. That's the starting point. Okay. Now we're going to make a number of provisions over here. This idea that I don't have to give up my life is only when there's no gzeres hamalchus. When there's no overarching general decree from the non-Jewish government. But when there is a gzeres hamalchus, when they are interested in turning, removing Yiddishkeit from our lives, so then, afilu mitzvah kala yareg v'al yavor. Then even for mitzvah kala yahareg v'al yavor. Okay, so that's one serious qualifier in the discussion of yahareg v'al yavor. Where does that come from? Right, that's an excellent question. Rashi says it very simply. Shelo yargilu is the last Rashi on the page. Shelo yargilu ha'ovde kochavim lahamrich es halavavos lekach. Right, they're trying to break us, and we're there to show them that we're not going to be broken. Okay, that's how Rashi says it. I'm not sure, right, it's an argument, right, it doesn't seem to be very source-based, but it's, that's the argument that Rashi presents. Well, but the Chil Hashem is going to be the next point of the Gemara. The Gemara, the way the Gemara presents it, Chil Hashem sounds like a totally different, a different category. Okay. Ki asa Rav and Amrav Yochanan filu shelo b'shas gzeres hamalchus. Okay, let's say there's no gzera. There's no overarching interest by the non-Jews to break us, to try to get us out of our Judaism. But it's just public. What if it's public? Ava b'faresya filu mitzvah kala yarek val yavor. So from mitzvah kala, yarek val yavor. Why? Because now you entered into the world of Chil Hashem. When you enter into the world of Chil Hashem, so now you got to give up your life, even for mitzvah kala. Okay. Let's just go a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll come back to discuss some things. Mitzvah kala, a light mitzvah. Right, there's no such thing. In other words, it's either a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah. The terminology, mitzvah kala, is a very strange terminology, and here the Gemara goes on to define. Amar Rav Rav Yitzchak, I'm sorry, my mitzvah kala, Amar Rav Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav. So the Gemara gives us an unbelievable example of what mitzvah kala is. Afilu lishnuye arkasa dim misana. Shoelaces. Even if they ask you, you know, the shoelaces you wear, those are Jewish shoelaces. Right? Could you take them off, replace them with other shoelaces? So something like that is an example of mitzvah kala, and under the categories, under the circumstances of either gzeres malchus or farhesia, so you have to give up your life. Look at Rashi, top Rashi on the page. Srucha na'al. Shim derech ovdei kochav m'lekshar kein v'derech yisrael b'inyan acher kigon sheyesh tzad yahadus bedavar. Now we're talking about shoelaces, so I don't fully understand what tzad yahadus, what Jewish element there is to shoelaces. V'derech yisrael liyosnuyim. Now Rashi does say that it's an issue of modesty. So I certainly, if I saw the shoelaces, I'm sure I'd have a better understanding of how it's an issue of modesty. But somehow it has to do with sad yahadus, has to do with modesty. Afilu shinui zeh she'ein kan mitzvah ela minag ma'alma. That's not a mitzvah to wear a certain shoe, right? Even though that's what all the other Jews are wearing, it's not a mitzvah. It's what we would call a minag. It's just that's our minhag. Our minhag is to dress like that. Yikadesh es Hashem b'fnei chaver of Yisrael v'hai b'faresya medaber b'Yisrael. Okay, and so now you have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So Kiddush Hashem even goes to the extreme position where it's not a mitzvah; it's just a minhag. But again, quoting Rashi, there has to be tzad yahadus. It has to be there's some Jewish element to this minhag that we have taken upon ourselves.
Rabbeinu Tam says the shoelaces of the Goyim were black, and the Israel was lavan.
Right, right, right.
So maybe something out of standard like that.
Right, color. Right, yeah. You have to. Right, you have to.
The korban.
Right,
right,
right, right. In other words, there has to be some sort of Jewish, right? Not just a difference, but there has to be something Jewish about it. Okay. All right, fine. So this is a this is now the Gemara, this discussion of Yarek Val Yavor, a major debate amongst the Rishonim. Okay, so we now identify the three cardinal sins, right? For the other ones, you have to live by the mitzvot, and you cannot die by the mitzvot. What if you want to engage in martyrdom? Meaning that you know this is not one of the three cardinal sins, but you're approached by a non-Jew, you're asked to violate a mitzvah in the Torah, it's not one of the big three, and it's not in public, and there's no gzeres malchus, but you say, you know what, I'd rather not. I'd rather give up my life. Right? So, major debate, and the Rambam is the hardliner. Rambam says no martyrdom. He does not believe in martyrdom. Rambam's of the opinion that if it's not the big three, and there's no chilah Hashem, and there's no gzeres malchus, Rambam says you cannot give up your life. Now, I won't say comically, but what's the punishment? Meaning, right? But the Rambam, to quote the language of the Rambam, is chayv benafsho. Right, you're gonna have to make an accounting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, for the fact that you didn't that you gave up your life in a situation when you were not supposed to give up your life. That is the Rambam's opinion. Tosfos, a number of places, is in disagreement. He does believe that outside of the big three, you have an option of giving up your life. You don't have to. But Tosfos is of the opinion that you have the option of giving your life up on the other life, and that would also fall into the category of Kiddush Hashem, even though it's not Befardesia. Okay.
Rabbi, it seems like it's connected. It's the Kala. It mentions it's the Kala. Then it mentions there are some Malchus. Then it went back to define what Mitzvah Kala was.
Right.
It mentioned there's some Malchus, and then it mentions Befardesia. And now it's going to mention... They're not in the same case, but for the same reason.
In other words, after
then it asked about the first one.
After going through both clauses,
discuss the two.
Right.
Now it's going to ask.
Right. But I don't know. In other words, if it's like Gzeres Malchus, I don't know.
Why didn't they ask on the first one, the first?
Because they know that it's got another example of Mitzvah Kala. And then...
The first one was...
The first one also was Mitzvah Kala.
Gzeres Malchus. Then it's...
But even by Gzeres Malchus, it says Afilu Mitzvah Kala. And then by Chilah Hashem, it says Afilu Mitzvah Kala. Yeah. Now... Yeah. Okay. All right. So Befar Hesya, it's what's...
The fact that Bahakti, the Mitzvah's essay, does that... theoretically make it less important than a mitzvah's lose?
No, I don't think so.
The fact that it's, you know...
I don't think so. In other words, you're right. The Torah doesn't put it, frame it in the, this is what you're not allowed to do, but... No, it sounds like it's equivalent. The Kama Farhesya, top now of Ayin Dalem Mudbeis. Now we say that in public, you have to give up your life for anything. Mitzvah Kala, even a minug, you have to give up your life. So, Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, Ein Farhesya, Pchusa Me'asara B'nei Adam. Okay, so 10 is public. Anything less than 10 is not public. Pshita Yisrael Be'inan. Now, in the pasuk of Kiddush Hashem, it says "V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." So, in other words, it's clear that it has to be in a quorum of Jews. But then the Gemara asks a strange question: "Bar Rav Yirmiya, Tisha v'Yisrael." I'm sorry, Tisha Yisrael v'Nachri Echad Ma'u. What about 9 and 1? If you remember the Gemara in Brachos in the 7th Perek, where the Gemara there talks about the requirement of a minyan. Gemara kind of plays a lot of this. I know you need 10, but right, but how about right 9 and a Sefer Torah, 9 and an Aron? What about 9 and a child? What about 9 if they're spread out? What if they're 9 if they're clustered? Right, and over here it's like the Gemara is doing a similar thing. I know you need 10 because I know it's Besoch Bnei Yisrael. I know a group is made up of 10, and I know they need to be Jews. But right, can it be 9 and a non-Jew? Right. It's not the same, but the Gemara, you know, tries to push the envelope in terms of what is the definition of farhesia. So Toshma Dini Rav Yarnai Achud Rabbi Chia Barava Asya Toch Toch Ksiv Hachem Nitash Besoch Bnei So Ksiv Hasam Hibadlu Mitoch HaEda. So we have a Gzereshava Toch Toch. The Gzereshava teaches us that just like the Meraglim were Hibadlu Mitoch HaEda Hazos. So no one, right? No, not the Meraglim.
Korach.
Okay. Hibadlu Mitoch HaEda Hazos. Malahalan Asara. Right, that's why I'm confused, because we're missing a part of the Gzereshava link, right on the side of the Gemara. Ada, Ada. Okay, thank you. In other words, that only takes us to Korach, and then how do I know that the number is 10? So then we have a second Gzereshava, which is not mentioned in the Gemara, right? Okay, good. Another right, that by the Meraglim, that Ada means 10. Okay, fine. At least I know why I'm confused, but. Okay, so they have to all be Jewish. Okay, so in other words, for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, you want to sanctify God's name, so it has to be a quorum. It has to be a quorum of 10 Jews. 10 men? That doesn't seem that way.
No.
In other words, the 10 men requirement is a minyan. Over here, you're talking about Kiddush Hashem. So the requirement is only here for Jews. Although, the Gzeir Shavah does take us to the Meraglim, and the Meraglim are all men. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't know. So he bought Lumi Toche Dezos. Malalna Sarvikul Yisrael, Afkana Sarvikul Yisrael. Okay, now we get to the big stuff of the day. We have now our principles. 3 cardinal sins, you got to give up your life. Even the other ones, all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, even Minhagim, for Gzeiras Malchus, you got to give up your life. For Chila Hashem Befarhesia, you have to give up your life. Okay,
right.
All that's good. All that's done. Now we get to the complex stuff. That was easy. Now it gets complicated. Yes.
In the Chila Hashem Befarhesia, wouldn't it be worse if it was among goyim, not Jews?
So, but the pasuk says, I understand your point, but the pasuk says V'nitachshi B'toch B'nei Yisrael. So the pasuk makes it out that Kiddush Hashem is amongst Jews. I definitely value your question, but the pasuk limits it to only Jews.
But the example of the shoelaces is a chilul Hashem, isn't
that? Well, they're related. They're opposite sides of the same coin, right? Kiddush Hashem is allowing yourself to be killed. Chilul Hashem is not allowing yourself to be killed. But it's betoch b'nei Yisrael. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Pasuk is very clear. Okay, now we get to the complicated stuff. Ha Esther Farhesya Havai. Simple. I mean, it's 4 words, and it's going to become so complicated in just a moment. Esther Hamalka. So she was public. Now, right, the Gemara assumes it's public because, I guess, look, it's the queen. Right, nobody saw her have relations with Achashverosh, but still, she's a queen and everybody knows what's happening. And so what the Gemara is demanding is that Esther should have given up her life. Okay.
Well, so she was married.
Now we'll throw two things into the hopper, right. And it's complex and it makes all this very messy. Now, Esther, what's the Gemara's point? What's the Gemara? What's driving the question of the Gemara? Esther was before Hestia, therefore she should have given her life. Meaning what? That this is also Arayus, meaning that she's committing the Isra of Gilu Arayus. A married woman having relations with another man? Is that what's driving the Gemara?
Okay. We never know for sure that they're married.
And do we know, thank you, and do we know for sure that they were married? There is a Gemara in Megillah, and the Gemara in Megillah tells us that she and Mordechai were married. Okay?
Yeah, the
passing Batehila
Labas.
Correct. Bas is not. Right, and the Gemara says that, I'll take Rebas Labayas, that it's not, they were married. So is that what's bothering the Gemara? And the Gemara is saying that she's Farhesia. So it sounds like from the Gemara, however, that it's not the big three. It's something other than the big three, because had it been the big three, you wouldn't need to introduce Farhesia. Farhesia is something other than the big three, where I need to give up my life. Or maybe what the Gemara is saying is both. It's both Arayos and it's Farhesia, and therefore she should have given up her life.
You're assuming that she was forced.
And, okay, right.
That's the thing. When you made it to Megillah, it never suggests that there was... Esther was forced to go into
okay.
Right? Just so that Mordechai brought her out. I mean,
okay. All right. So let me first read the answers of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about the major stuff in this big Tosos over here. The Gemara's answers are number one: Amar Abaye Esther Karka Olam Haisa. Esther was a passive participant in the act of relations with Achashverosh. She never was actively engaged in relations with him. She was a passive participant, and that's what the Gemara refers to as Karka Olam. Therefore, she did not have to give up her life. Okay, stay tuned. We'll discuss that, what that means in just a moment. Rava Amar, Hanas Atzmo Shani. Rava says, no, it's Hanas Atzmo. Hanas Atzmo means that they're just... The non-Jew is doing this over here only to please himself. That's his intent. And if that's his intent, so therefore you don't have to give up your life. Okay. Two answers to the very fundamental question of how come Esther didn't have to give up her life.
What's the opposite? I know that's one. Are they both with her?
In other words, if they're asking you to do it because they want you they want to persecute you and they want to see you to be Mechal Shabbos, so then you have to give up your life. But if they're doing it just for their own personal benefit and that's their only motivation, so then you don't have to give up your life. Okay. All right, so watch carefully, because here we go. The big toast is on the side of the page. We're not going to go through it all right now. We're behind. And there's, even if we weren't behind, we're not. But I'm just gonna point out some of the major positions taken here in this Tosfos. Tamots, let's start from the beginning of the Tosfos. So the Tosfos says, why are we having a discussion of public versus private? Why aren't we dealing with the most basic of issues, that this is Arayus? Right? Now, Tosfos' question is based on the assumption that Esther is married and that this relations with Achashverosh is in fact an adulterous relationship. And so Tosfos over here says we seem to be sidestepping the more basic issue and taking on the secondary issue of Farhesia Chil Hashem. I understand this is an issue of Arayus. Right? And the Gemara in Ksuvos, in the beginning of Ksuvos, also basically addresses the same thing. I don't understand. Right? Just tell them, right, that the religious lehudon is shari. If you're ones, it's permissible. So the Gemara says, what happened to Gil? Tosfos is bothered. What happened to Gil Arayus? Okay, so we'll start off with the most radical position to take, and that's the position of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, most radical. Tirus Rabbeinu Tam, the Ein Chayavin Misa, Abeilas Ove Kochavim, Mishum Derachmana Afkare Lizare the Ove Kochavim. So Rabbeinu Tam takes a very radical position that it's not a chi of Misa to have relations with a non-Jew. Okay? And meaning, a married woman, right? A married Jewish woman who has an affair with a non-Jew, so that's not a chi of Misa. Now, to be clear, even in Rabbeinu Tam's position, he's not discussing right and wrong. It's wrong.
No, but the thing is that Esther wasn't having an affair. It wasn't a consent. Affair has to be consensual. This wasn't consensual.
I understand that, but Tosos is just wondering. It's the Tosos over here is going on. What's the starting point of this discussion by Esther? The starting point of this discussion should be she's a married woman.
Right.
Why isn't the Gemara starting from there? Why is the Gemara going to, oh, it's public and it's Chil Hashem? Well, you should be starting off with a much more basic position. So Rabbeinu Tam says, oh, I know why, because it's a non-Jew. And there's no chi of misa by a non-Jew. Mishum derachmana afkar elazar dove kocham gadamein beperek nosan alanus adichsiv vizir masusim zir masam umitoch kach hayarot the Rabbeinu Tam. Now follow carefully, because Rabbeinu Tam now is advocating the position that an adulterous affair with a non-Jew, there's no chi of misa. It's not punishable by death. It's not eishes ish. And again, he's not having a discussion of right and wrong. He's just having a discussion of what is the ramifications of doing such an act. So he says it's not a chi of misa. Kachaya wrote to Rabbeinu Tam, Hatir bas Yisrael shehimira uvala ove kochavim vishuv nizgayir ima lekayma biyadus. Just imagine. There's a girl who lived in the time of Rabbeinu Tam. She was Hamer Das. She left the fold. And then, not much has changed. Yeah. She left the fold. She went with a non-Jew. And then they came back to Rabbeinu Tam and they said, we want to come back.
Right.
Both of us, meaning her and her non-Jewish boyfriend. And Rabbeinu Tam was... Now, the way Tosos quotes it, Haya wrote the Rabbeinu Tam lahatir. The way it sounds like from Tosos that, I don't know, he didn't go through with it.
It wasn't the final.
I don't know. It's certainly a funny way to phrase it. Haya wrote the Rabbeinu Tam lahatir, basi so shehimira, uvala uvikochav mishuv nizgah yamal, lekaim abiyadus. So to keep her in Judaism, he was ready to take her husband as a ger. Aye, the lo shaykh lamemer echa leboel. You know the halacha that when a woman has an adulterous affair, she's forbidden to her husband and she's forbidden to her paramour. And over here, Rabbeinu Tam says, but he's a non-Jew. So over here, Rabbeinu Tam says, I think it's okay. Okay, wow. So that's the most radical position. That's Rabbeinu Tam's position. He says it here and back in Ksuvos. He says the same thing as well. He's very consistent that he believes that adultery with a non-Jew does not evoke a chi of misa.
But I think this woman wasn't committing adultery. She wasn't married.
I assume. I know. Tosos says
she wasn't married before she went with the non-Jew.
I don't know. Tosos says ech laboa. That gives the impression that clearly this woman was a married woman.
She was what? I'm sorry.
The fact that Tosos is citing ech laboa, meaning that's a Gemara's phrase, ech laboa ve ech laboa. She's forbidden to her husband and she's forbidden to her paramour. Right. It sounds like she's a married woman from the Tosos. Okay, Dahavi Kabias Behema. Okay, that is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, Tosfos, and this is where we're going to skip now, Tosos goes ballistic on Rabbeinu Tam. The other Balei HaTosfos cannot accept it, simply have no tolerance for this position. One of the proofs, by the way, interesting, comes from Esther herself. Right? Look, just skip down about five, six lines. Right? One of the proofs, right, you see where he quotes Megillah Daf Tezvav, Kasher Avadati Avadati, Kasher Avadati Mi Beis Abba, Kach Avadati Mimcha. when Mordechai says you got to go to the king and you got to have consensual relations with the king, so she says kasher avadati avadati, end of the fifth parak of Megillas Esther, and the Gemara in Megillah darshins, that's it, I'm done. Meaning that once it becomes consensual, now I'm committing adultery. I'll be usher to you, and I'll be usher, right, I'll be usher to you. I mean, it's strange because she'll also be usher to Achashverosh as well.
It's not consensual.
No, it wasn't consensual. Mordechai told her.
That's what I said.
Right.
It wasn't consensual on the Esther. Also, isn't there an idea of saving crimes?
Okay, that's a secondary, that's another discussion in terms of why she was allowed to do it.
Right.
Okay, and it's an important discussion. But just the proof that Tosfos is bringing, that you see in the Gemara and Megillah, that once she commits has consensual relations with Achashverosh, she's going to be also to Mordechai. What do you mean, Rabbeinu Tam? I understand, he's a non-Jew. Right. So, it doesn't make her usher. So it's interesting. One of the proofs against Rabbeinu Tam is from Esther herself. Anyway, let's go on. In Tosfos, look at the first really long line in Tosfos. Where here Tosfos gives another explanation, not the Rabbeinu Tam approach, but another explanation as why we don't discuss arayas. V'hai delo par, and it's an important yesod in Tosfos over here. This is one of the main main points to be drawn out on this discussion of Yaharig Val Yavor. First really wide line on the page, third line from the end. V'ha delo parech hacha v'ha Esther arayos havai. Why doesn't the Gemara ask, this should be Ervo, this should be an Isra of Arayos? The Kimle de Mahani Taima de Karka Olam Le'inyan de Lo Mechayv and Limsar Atma Mishem Arayos. When the Gemara gives the answer of Karka Olam, the Gemara is addressing both questions. It's addressing A, the Gemara's question of Farhesya, and B, it's also addressing the question of Gilu Arayos. Why? Because Tosfos says it all stems from Ritzicha. When you have to give up your life, someone points a gun to you and says, either you shoot him or I shoot you. So that's Masa Biyadayim. I can't do an action with my body to kill somebody else. I have to either passively be killed rather than actively kill somebody else. But if I don't have to do an action, kigon, Tosfos here gives a classic example. Right, horrific example of Tosfos, where you're going to get thrown, your body's going to get thrown, and it's going to land on top of a baby, and it'll crush the baby. Now it's passive versus passive. Now you don't have to give up your life. If it's active versus passive, you got to give up your life. But it's passive versus passive, then you don't have to give up your life. Dematzi amar adarabba. Because now we're going to use that svara that we learned on Amar Aleph, and we're basically going to apply it over here. My chaz is the dama de chavrei sim ketfei, dama dama didi sim ketfei. Look, the Gemara said on Amar Aleph, I don't know how to value life. That's true that I can't pull the trigger, but it's also true that I don't have to tell him to kill me if I'm not going to do anything. If I'm just going to passively allow my body to be manipulated, but I'm not going to do anything, how do I know that his blood is redder than my blood? Alright, okay. Let's stop over there. I'd love to go on. But we got the main point of Tosfos. So the Gemara's answer of Karka Olam is really addressing both questions. The explicit question of the Gemara and the implicit question of the Gemara. Of how come this isn't Arayas. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara. I'd like to finish the parak. So Hanaz Atzmashani, Diilo Temahachi Anikavakive Vidimun Ki Hechiyavina Lahu. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you how I know this idea of Hanas Atzman. This is Rava now speaking. Rava says that by Hanas Atzman, that if he's doing it only for his own benefit, it's not a problem. I'll tell you why. Because in Persia, and again, I'm yielding to the two Persians here in the room. In Persia, they had the following holiday. I'm reading Rashi, and my friends, you'll tell me if you recognize this. Rashi writes the following: Yom Chag Hayel LaParsiim. There was a Persian holiday. Shenot LeMisharti Avodas Kochavim or Mikol Bayis to Bayis. So what the Persian priests would do is that they would go around from house to house, and they would take fire from people's houses. They would take the fire coals, I guess, and they would bring them to the house of worship, Shalahem, and people would warm themselves up to these fire, and they would go to the Jews, and they would take from the Jews against their will. So how can we allow them to do that? And not give up our lives, meaning we should be standing at the door and saying, no, you can't do that. I'm not going to help facilitate your Ovid Avodah Zarah. This is Avodah Zarah. So how come we're not doing that? So the answer is Hanas Atzmo, because they're doing it only to get benefit for themselves. They're not doing it because they want us to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Hanas Atzmo is a different category.
Their benefit is just getting heat by from the fire.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that all day. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the question might be, because it's historical, whether the Persian faith was actually Avodah Zarah.
The Gemara assumes. The Gemara assumes it is.
I'm sorry.
The Gemara assumes it is.
Zarah.
Yeah. Worship fire. Right. The Amar Rava. Akum Israel. Sorry. Hanas Atzmo Shani. The Avodah Rava. Tame Dama Rava. And again, Rava's consistent, because Rava made another statement. Akum Damar Leila Hayisrael Kto Aspasta Bishabasa Ushdi Lechayusa. Non-Jew goes over to a Jew on Shabbos and says, look, you see the grass over there? Cut it. I know it's Shabbos. Cut it. Because my animals need to eat. V'ilo katlin alach, and if you don't cut it, I'm going to kill you. Liktal, this is confusing. Liktal, cut the grass, v'lo likatle, and don't allow yourself to be killed. However, shtile nahara, if the instructions are, I want you to cut the grass and throw the grass into the river. Meaning, I want to see you violate Shabbos. All right. So then, liktalei, allow yourself to be killed. Velo liktol, and don't cut the grass. My taima la avure milsa kabai, because he just wants you to be over milsa. Now here, what are we talking about? We're talking about Xeris Malchus, or we're talking about Farhesia? Not extraordinarily clear from the Gemara, right?
Sounds like
Xeris Malchus.
Yeah, because he has ultimate
Rashi. Rashi can go either way. Rashi does go either way. Right? Rashi says, Rashi's not clear which one it is, but it's one of those two, obviously, because we're talking about Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos is not one of the big three. Okay. Fine. All right. So we have our basic, we have the three cardinals, we have the two exceptions, Gzeres Malchus and Farhesia. Farhesia is a function of Chilul Hashem. We have the discussion by Esther. How come Esther didn't give up her life? Two answers of the Gemara, Abaye and Rava. Abaye says, Karka Olam. Rava says, Hanas Atzman. Why didn't the Gemara ask about Arias by Esther? The Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that he's a non-Jew. The Tosus' position, that Karka Olam addresses both Arias and Farhesia. Okay. You got that? Okay, that's everything in a nutshell. It's a lot. Okay, how about a Ben Noach? Does he have this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Okay, unbelievable question. Because we just got done saying that Kiddush Hashem is a function of Yigdashi B'soch B'nei Yisrael. So where the question comes from, I'm not sure. But the Gemara asks the question, significantly entertains the question, whether there's Kiddush Hashem or there's not Kiddush Hashem. Amar Abaye Tashma. So Abaye says, okay, well, I'll make the following argument. Sheva mitzvot nitzavu b'nei Noach. So there are only seven Noachide laws. So over here, if Kiddush Hashem is another one, that'd be eight and not seven. The Misa Timne Havyan. So Amale Rabba, so Rabba says to Abaye, no. No, Kiddush Hashem is not a separate singular mitzvah. It becomes a part and parcel of every one of the mitzvahs. Right? I'll give you a great example. By hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah. We have an obligation to beautify our mitzvahs. It's not a separate mitzvah in of itself. It is part and parcel of every one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? When the Torah gives me a mitzvah of mezuzah, right? Zeki levan veiwa, I have to enhance it. So over here, when there's seven Noahide laws, included in the seven Noahide laws is Kiddush Hashem. So my havi Allah Amiravad Rav Amri Bey Rav Ksiv. So the Gemara tries to use a proof, an interesting proof, from Sefer Malachim. In the fifth parak of Sefer Malachim, Malachim Beis, so Naaman, one of the generals of Aram, so he suffers terribly from tzaras. He goes to Elisha, and Elisha cures him of the tzaras. Has him dunk in the Jordan River seven times, I think. So the so fine, and Elisha, and Naaman gets cured from his tzaras. And then he says to Elisha, "Now I got a halachic question for you." Naaman says to Elisha, "I got to go back to Aram. I'm going with the king. The king's going to be over to Avodah Zarah. I'm going to go with him. I promise you, I'm not going to be over to Avodah Zarah. But I'm with the king. So, and he's going to bow, and I'm going to help him. Is that okay, or not, is that not okay?" So this was Naaman's question to Elisha. Let's follow this in the Pesukim. L'davar hazeh yislach Hashem la'avdecha v'va Adoni beis Rimon. When my master, so the, apparently he's talking about the king of Aram, when my master goes to Beit Rimon, lishtachavos shama v'hu nishan al yadi v'hishtachavisi. So he's going to lean on me. I always take him there. He's going to lean on me, and I'm going to bow. But I'm not into it. I'm not really worshiping the idol. But yes or no? Uksiv. And what is Elisha's answer to Naaman? Vayomalo lech lishalom. So he says, "Go. It's fine. Totally fine." The im Isa. Now, is there an issue of Kiddush Hashem by Ben Noach? The im Isa lo lema lehabit sin ahabit farhesya. So why didn't he give him a Yaharit Val Yavor discussion, right? Private versus public. If it's private, so then there is no Kiddush Hashem. If there's public, it is Kiddush Hashem. And he gives him a very simple response of Lech L'Shalom, it's fine, no problem. What are you worried about? You're not being over to Avodah Zarah, and there's no Kiddush Hashem. So, and then the Gemara ends the discussion very awkwardly, meaning that's it, right? Period.
Yeah.
and where do we end off on this discussion? Right? Is there Kiddush Hashem by a non-Jew, or is there no Kiddush Hashem by a non-Jew? So it's very unclear. Meaning, we just the Gemara ended its discussion. Tosfos at the end. See, look at the end of that Tosfos. The Tosfos is a different girsa, just a different reading. It's better because it actually punctuates the end of the discussion much better. The imisa lemalei habitzina habit farhesya the kapasha de la mafkid mida amalei stam lech l'shalom. Right, just look at the simplicity of the answer of Naaman of Elisha Tama Naaman. No problem, go. Meaning there's no Kiddush Hashem, right? And he didn't say habitzina habit farhesya. Okay.
Might there not also be an Indian of Mesasek? He was just helping his master.
Right. That's another very good point. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Maisa Ba'adam Echash, and Asanena B'isha Achas. V'hela li botina. There's a guy who got lovesick. Love struck and love sick. And he met a girl, and he just became obsessed with a girl to the point that he was physically ill.
He was mad.
And she was, we'll see. We'll see. Subject to the debate. So he was physically ill, and he just he was in bed, and he was just sick. So doctors paid a house call. They went to go and ask the doctors. So the doctor said he has to have relations with her. That's the cure. Okay, what a script. Amru Chachamim Yamuz Va'al Tiva'el. So the Chachamim said Yamuz Va'al Tiva'el. No, don't do that. Right, this is Arayus. Right, this is one of the Gimel Chamuros. You can't do that. He's got to die. So doctors versus the rabbis. I am. So the Va'al Tiva'el. Tamo Lefanav Aruma. Okay, so now, but now let's get serious for just a moment, because now the Gemara is going to get very serious. How about this? How about try to satisfy his lust for her, but not have relations?
Just look at
it. Okay? Right. So, Tamu Lafana Aruma. So, how about if he just gets to look at her naked? Yamus Val Tamu Lafana Aruma. And the Gemara says no? Also no. Tisapir Imo Me'achore Hageder. How about a conversation? Where she's on the other side of the fence. Yamus Val Tisapir Imo Me'achore Hageder. So, the Gemara says no. Now. Plei bar Rav Yaakov, Raidi Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Echadam Aishas, Isha Aishas, Echadam Apnuya Haisa. Is she a married woman? So the Gemara says it's subject to a debate. So one position is that she was married, the other position is she's Pnuya. Now, Bishlam Laman, Dam Aishas, Isha Aishas, Shaper. The fact that she's married makes all this totally logical. Makes perfect sense. She's a married woman. We're talking about adultery. That's Aishas, Isha, you can't do that. So that makes perfect sense. El Laman, Dam Apnuya Haisa. But if she's a single girl, my kule hai. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? So Rav Papa Amar Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. So the Gemara is going to give a couple of explanations. One's Pagam Mishpacha. Look, her family is going to be disgraced if this is what she has to go through. Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika Amar Kedishla Yibnosi So Prutzos Ba'arayos. And the other explanation is, look, you allow this to happen, and really you're debasing and demoralizing Jewish girls. We will not have that. Even at the expense, it's amazing. Even at the expense of somebody else's life.
If the girl, simplest
suggestion, the linstava. So why don't we allow them? Why doesn't he just marry her? The linstava minstav la miyas ve daita. Marry her.
That could kill him.
Right. Thank you. I could not have said it better. I literally could not have said it better. Kidder Rav Yitzchak damer Rav Yitzchak miyam shachar beis hamikdash nitla tam bia v'nisna la'ovrei avera. Right? The real satisfaction of bia has been removed after the Chorban HaMikdash, and unfortunately, the Gemara says it's a powerful statement of the Gemara, right? For ovrei avera, that's the real tam bia. That's the real satisfaction of desire. But for marriage and nisuin and kedushin tahara does not get the same satisfaction. So shenamar mayim genuvim yimtaku v'lechem sesarim yinam. The stolen water tastes the best. It's the sweetest water. What's forbidden to you is going to be much much more desired than what's not forbidden. So if he married her, right?
Yeah.
Right. Hajan Lachman Sora Mora. This is the end of the seventh parak. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll start the eighth parak of Sanhedrin. Start Sreifa tomorrow. Rabbi Chanan.